Good evening, world. Welcome to the preseason podcast of the year. Jay Hicks here, the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast, making our triumphant return to podcast land. Emphasis on triumphant. How y'all feeling tonight? Recording this on a Wednesday evening. Hopefully I will get this podcast up soon enough. Hopefully I can get it up by Wednesday, if not possibly Thursday. But you're hearing this pre-trade deadline for all you NBA fans out there. We're going to get into a little bit of that discussion. I was feeling kind of loose about the podcast today. You know, I think I'm just going to wing it. Normally, you know, just to take you behind the scenes for a little bit, normally there's a fair amount of structure and a fair amount of planning that, you know, goes into each podcast that I've done to this point. This time I decided to switch it up a little bit. It's going to be more off the cuff. It may be a smash hit, you know. It could be a flaming wreckage, an audio version of a flaming wreckage. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll find out together, now, won't we? So we're going to definitely get into some NBA talk. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to get deep into some NBA talk. I just haven't had the chance to do it on the podcast just yet. So for all my hoops heads out there, I apologize for that. It's just kind of how it's been to this point, you know, what with the NFL season being the way it was and the whole finish around that. And then we had the Grammy Awards and we've just had a lot of other stuff going on. And the NBA is kind of falling on the back burner every time. And that stops tonight. That ends tonight. So we're going to lead off the show talking about basketball. And then we're going to get into a little hip-hop stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about Kanye West, which, you know, that's something that we've managed to do on the podcast before, is talk a little bit about Kanye West. But it's all good. You know, we're gonna shout him out. We're going to honor him this evening, so that's a good thing. We're going to talk a little bit about Big L, one of the legendary MCs the game has ever seen. And we might talk a little Nicki Minaj, too. You know, we talked a little bit about her on the website within the last week or so. Always controversial. Between Nicki and Kanye, man, I'm telling you, you know, I mean, there's enough material between just the two of them for me to do a podcast every day. I mean, they always in the news about something. I mean, I don't know. Let's start with the NBA. All-Star Weekend. It came and it went. What'd you guys think? Let me know. Tweet at me, at HHSReport. Or you can hit us on the website always, hiphopsportsreport.com, the trillest website on the internet. NBA All-Star Weekend, y'all. It came, it went. And I don't think too many people I don't think too many people are unhappy that it went, if you know what I'm saying. New Orleans played host to the All-Star Weekend yet again. They hosted it, I believe, back in 2008. And here they are getting it again in 2014. So only a 6-year layoff between All-Star appearances. When I was a kid, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, for those of you who don't know, for those of you who are new to the podcast, I'm a Cleveland, Ohio native. And when I was a kid, All-Star Weekend came to Cleveland and it was awesome. And my father, being the awesome father that he is, took me and my brother down to jam session down at the convention center in downtown Cleveland. We got to watch both teams practice. We saw the East practice and the West practice. It was the only time in my life that I've seen Michael Jordan with my own eyes. I was sitting way up in the nosebleeds, looking down about 150 yards at a 45-degree angle down onto the court. And I saw Michael Jordan at practice. He didn't do anything. He just stood there and talked to Bill Walton the whole time. And I remember Jordan was off to the side, and there was pretty much, I think the East got into like a half court, the East All-Stars got into a half court shot contest or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. And the West practice was a little bit different. I was bummed because my favorite player coming up was Charles Barkley, and we'll shout him out a little bit later on in the show too. But the Chuckster was an All-Star in that year, but he was injured and didn't play. So therefore, there was no need for him to be at practice. So I didn't get to see him that day. So I was a little bummed about that. But everything else was awesome. On the West side, I remember there was Sean Kemp, who was pretty much in his prime years, you know, maybe even on the downside of his prime years at that point. He probably had about a few good years left after this. But Sean Kemp was an all-star for the Supersonics. And there was a young kid by the name of Kevin Garnett that was an all-star. And they put on a dunk clinic at practice for the fans. That was really cool. I remember that. That was dope. And those are my memories from the practice. And then it was weird, was that like a year or two later, Sean Kemp, I think the following year, the following offseason, the Cavaliers ended up trading for Sean Kemp. And he had like maybe one good year with the Cavs. And then it was trash after that. You know, it was a wrap. But at any rate, they had the jam session thing for the kids. So you know, you could go and you could... you know, they had like the little basket setups where you could go and you could dunk on the hoops and stuff when they would lower them down to like, you know, 7, 8, 9 feet or whatever. You could dunk on those. You could, I remember making a highlight tape with my brother, so they let you like put on the headphones. I guess this is when I knew I was destined to be behind a microphone in some capacity. But I remember they had the little highlight tapes of like Magic hitting a little junior skyhook against the Celtics, and you could do the audio play-by-play call of that. So, like, my brother and I, we sat there and we did the play-by-play call of that shot. And then, and that was really cool. And then they made a copy of a VHS tape. For those of you kids out there that don't know what a VHS tape is, a VHS is a type of device that allowed people to play videos on machines known as VCRs that existed way back in the Stone Age. But yeah, they let you take home the VHS copy of that tape where you had the audio commentary on. So that was really cool. That I remember, like, they had like the little thing where you could put your foot down and like your foot was, you know, it would compare the size of your foot compared to Shaq's or whatever. All of it was really cool stuff at the jam session. I still remember that to this day. And then All-Star Weekend, that was the year that Kobe went in the slam dunk contest as, I think, a rookie, and he won it. And then Glenn Rice was the All-Star MVP that year. And that was the year that they did the 50 greatest players in NBA history, something that has still stood up. You know, it still stood the test of time. I mean, I think we can revise that list now and add some more names to it. You know, not necessarily bump anybody off, but extend the list to 60 or 75 guys, you know, now that we're you know, 15 or so years later. But, you know, still, it was very cool to have that collection of guys come to your hometown and be honored in that way. So all that stuff was really cool. I wish they would bring it back to Cleveland. I mean, why does New Orleans get 2 All-Star games in 6 years? I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been in New Orleans. I'd have kicked it in New Orleans. Much better town for partying and whatnot than Cleveland is. Don't get me wrong, but there's other cities that deserve a chance too. You know, they have it in LA like every other year. Now they're doubling it up in New Orleans. I mean, I know they want to have it in warm weather cities. I know they want to have it in nice party cities or cities that are used to accommodating those types of crowds and stuff. But it would be nice to get it in some of these other cities that don't get to have NBA All-Star games too often. I mean, I think it would be nice, and the people are gonna come. You know what I'm saying? It's not like. And like the people aren't gonna come. The chicks are still gonna save up their little money, and all their girlfriends are gonna get a room together and fly out to Sacramento if the All-Star Weekend is in Sacramento. It's still gonna happen. It's still going down. So, I mean, there's other opportunities to be had out there. Adam Silver, new commissioner. So I'm just putting that out there. But, yeah, man, I watched all the festivities from All-Star Weekend. Celebrity Game was actually pretty entertaining. It was pretty high scoring. You wouldn't think it would have been, but it was a pretty good ball game. Arne Duncan was balling. The Secretary of Education, I called him on Twitter. I referred to Arne Duncan as the big reading is fundamental, I think is what I called him. I mean, it's like mad corny, but I thought it was still kind of clever at the same time. But and then he won the I guess Kevin Hart gave him the MVP, which is a pretty gracious move, I thought. Then what would we have after that? Then we had the Rising Stars game. The back and forth between Dion Waiters and Tim Hardaway Jr. arguably was the highlight of the whole weekend. I mean, those two guys, I mean, that looked like some Rucker stuff. I mean, for real. That looked something straight out of the Rucker Park for real, or the Drew League or something. I mean, the way they was battling back and forth, no hesitation, pulling three-pointers from 25, 30 feet. They ain't care, you know? And I mean, granted, there was no defense play in the game, but it was still impressive. It doesn't matter if there's defense or not. when you hit, you know, four threes in a row from 25, 30 feet out, it's still impressive. I don't care. So that was a lot of fun to watch. All-Star Saturday night, not so much. I enjoyed Kendrick Lamar's performance. Every time I seen Kendrick Lamar, he's performing Mad City, though. Which, I mean, that's a hot record, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, that's his go-to record for performances, I guess, now. I kind of feel like he needs another one, because I think he did that one at the I don't know if he did it at the BET Hip Hop Awards. No, he did do it at the BET Hip Hop Awards. And he did it at, where he do it? He did it at the Grammys, and he did it, he might have done it on Saturday Night Live. He did it on All-Star Weekend. He's just done that song a lot, but it's a hot record, don't get me wrong. And when he mixed it up with Imagine Dragons at the Grammys, we talked about that before. That was fire, so I'm not mad at it, but there is a lot to be mad at All-Star Saturday night, though, that's for sure. And if any of you read the website, I appreciate you, obviously. And we wrote an article about why the dunk contest didn't need fixing. And here you had the NBA trying to fix a contest that wasn't broken. So they messed up the format, which, I mean, it was so easy to tell that this was going to be a bad idea. I mean, they broke it up so that they separated. They were going off this East versus West thing, which they had, you know, done the entire night. Which is, okay, whatever. But for the dunk contest, now you had three guys on one team from the Eastern Conference and three guys from the Western Conference team. It just wasn't conducive to a slam dunk contest. You needed one winner. I mean, a three-point shootout, you know, it's not, I mean, how insane would it be if they took a composite score of the three guys from the Eastern Conference from the three-point shootout and determined them the winner? And Marco Bellinelli made the most baskets, right? But fans had to vote him as the three-point shooter of the night. And maybe he didn't win because the East collectively made more three-pointers. That'd be stupid, right? That's basically what it was with the slam dunk contest. You had this freestyle session. And I knew it 3 seconds into the freestyle session. I'm like, this is a disaster. Because you had three guys up there at the same time. At the same damn time. You had three guys up there just dunking one after another, and there was no time to appreciate what was happening. There was no opportunity to sit there and be like, oh, that was a live dunk. There was no opportunity for any of the players that actually dunked the ball to show off any kind of, you know what I'm saying, no charisma, no flair, nothing, none of that. All that stuff went out the window during the freestyle session. It was just one person dunk, another person dunk, another person dunk. And the dunks weren't even that great outside the one that Ben McLemore almost dropped. You know what I'm saying? The ball was over his head, and he managed to catch it and slam it. That was like the only hot dunk in that whole sequence. The one Paul George had was all right. But, I mean, none of that stuff was really that dope to me in either one of the East or the West little freestyle sessions. I've seen more entertaining dunks in a layup line in pregame than I saw in that little freestyle, you know, whatever, that little freestyle round, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it just wasn't hot, and there was no opportunity to take in what you had just seen, because as soon as one person dunked, the next one was coming right up. So that meant no playing it up for the crowd, no instant replay, none of that, you know what I'm saying? All that went out the window. Then the judges, they kind of seem to be overwhelmed by the whole thing, because I don't think, because there was way too much interviewing of the judges, okay? That's not necessary. Bring back the scorecards where they can just hold up the number and keep it moving. That all this interviewing, so Dr. J, what'd you think of that dunk? Well, the imagination behind it, plus with the degree of difficulty, I thought made an interesting slam dunk attempt. And then once the player made it on the third try, because he missed the first two tries, knock it off. I don't care. I love Dr. J. I love Magic Johnson, although he wasn't really a dunker ever. And then I think Dominique was a judge too. I love all those guys. Dr. J and Dominique, two of the four best dunkers of all time. I don't care what they had to say. All they had to do was hold up the numbers, you know what I'm saying? And keep it moving. All this breakdown, the explanation of each dunk, It's just not necessary. And we already know who they are. It's not like they need to raise their profile. Why is Nick Cannon interviewing them in the first place? And why is Nick Cannon hosting the damn thing? God. There were so many things went wrong with the slam dunk contest. Then we had this arbitrary showdown matchup thing where they pitted one guy from each conference against another. The East dominated. They won the first two, which made like the third matchup obsolete. You know what I'm saying? There was no need for the third matchup after the East had won the first two because there was an odd number of dunkers. Paul George actually had the livest dunk of the night. That little, he did like a between the leg 360 dunk. You know what I'm saying? That's dope. But he took three or four times to get it right, and so that kind of took away from it. Harrison Barnes was whack. You already knew he was gonna be whack. Not that he's a bad guy. He just, a dunk contest doesn't really seem like his forte. He don't really strike me as a creative type cat. You know, I think Reggie Miller said it during the telecast. Like, somebody said it during the telecast, or maybe it was Kenny Smith. Somebody said during the telecast, like, if I'm Harrison Barnes, I need to go power with it. I'm trying to break the rim down, because that would have been his only shot to really get the crowd on his side. But not that it mattered, though, because he wasn't going against everybody else. He was only going up against one other guy. Then you had the Paul George dunk, or excuse me, after the Paul George dunk, then you had Ben McLemore come out, a.k.a. Ben Shacklemore come out, with the little Shaq and the whole thing, and they had the guy reading the scrolls or whatever, and that was kind of funny. I when I was watching it, I'm kind of like, what is this? This is so ridiculous. But I can't say that it wasn't, you know, entertaining a little bit. But it was cool, though. And then he goes out there and gets hung on his first dunk attempt, makes a second one. All right, cool. And then, you know, it was okay. And then follow that up with John Wall finally coming through and getting, it wasn't the best dunk of the night, but it was the best dunk that was made on the first attempt. And he gets the dunk. The dunk was cool. But then afterwards, he hits the Paul George with the, and then all of a sudden they hit the Nene dance, and it was hilarious. And then you had the mascot that was right there with him. I love that. The little dance breakdown, man, that was hilarious. Outside of that, the whole thing was a snooze. And then they, you know, they kind of told us that John Wall was going to be the dunker of the night before they even announced it. It was garbage, man. All they need to do, and please, if you haven't read the article already, go to hiphopsportsreport.com and read it. They don't need to fix the dunk contest. All they need to do is go back to the same format that they had before, that they've always had, where they just have, you know, four, six guys, and they all get two dunks, and then they go to the next round, and then they pick a winner, and then the judges vote, and then good night, everybody, drive home safely. That's all they need to do. And all we need is some star power in the contest, and we need some creativity. You know, because there's some other guys that are not in the NBA that are doing dunks that are way more creative than anybody's done in the contest in several years. And so, if we just bring some of that creativity and enthusiasm to it and a little bit of star power, then that's all we need. And we have to temper our expectations, too, because the dunk contest is not going to be Vince Carter in 2000 every single year. So just because we don't get Vince Carter in 2000 doesn't mean the dunk contest is whack, and it doesn't mean the dunk contest needs to go away like some people are saying on television. I think Mike Wilbon is like, yeah, we need to get rid of the dunk contest, and then people will miss it. No! The Super Bowl was whack this year, too, but we're not going to get rid of the Super Bowl so people will miss it. You know, sometimes stuff, you know, you can't predict it, but you have an off year sometimes, and then you come back next year, and it maybe is dope again, but you don't. It's not going to be dope every year. How could it be? Because if it's dope every year, then that means we have to redefine what dope is. You see what I'm saying? So just keep our expectations under control with regards to the dunk contest. And then as for the game itself on Sunday, my God, can we please start the game like an hour and a half earlier? Please. I'm begging the NBA to start the game earlier. I don't even live on the East Coast anymore or in the Eastern time zone anymore. But when I did, it was a massive pain in the ass to try to sit there and watch the All-Star game knowing that, you know, the game comes on at 9 o'clock and it's not going to go off until 12:30. And I got to get up and go to work in the morning. Now, granted, I'm a night owl anyway, so I would have stayed up regardless. But that's not the point. There's a lot of people that don't roll like that. And they were trying to get a little shut-eye before they woke up in the morning. But they also maybe wanted to watch the All-Star game. And considering that there's, like, more people on the East Coast than by far any place else in the country, it would make sense to try to maybe move that up a little bit. And then accommodate those fans. I don't really understand why the game needs to start you know, at the same time as David Letterman. Like, what's the point of that? I don't understand. And then we had these long drawn out intros with Pharrell doing songs from 2002, and Nelly comes out doing what I think is his worst song ever. And oh my goodness, it was just, you know, Busta Rhymes comes out looking like an old ass man, and I love Busta Rhymes, don't get me wrong, but I mean, his best days are behind him. I think we can all agree on that. And not that he don't have talent, because he even did the little Chris Brown verse, you know, to Look at Me Now. That was only a couple of years ago, so I understand he can still spit. I'm just saying, you know, Busta Rhymes and Diddy, Pastor Kavassi, I don't think anybody saw that coming. And to me, it wasn't long ago enough to feel nostalgic about it. Like, so I just saw it and I was just like, what the hell is this? You know, that was more so my reaction. I had my hands out like, what? So Pharrell, Diddy, Busta Bus, whoever else. I feel like I'm missing somebody in that pregame thing that was never ending. And then the game starts at like 9 o'clock, and then there's no defense in the game whatsoever. That was frustrating to see, but I'm hoping in the future that the NBA makes it so that the players play a little bit of defense in the first half. Like, I don't want to see 170 to 168 next year. I don't want to see that. I mean, if you want to score in the 120s, I'm good with that. But that means that you have to play a little bit of defense before there's 4 minutes left in the game. And I just got tired of seeing guys. I mean, they were impressive dunks, but I just got tired of seeing guys run to the hoop and dunk the ball unimpeded for 45 minutes. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, okay. Carmelo Anthony was great. Hit 8 three-pointers. Didn't even seem like he hit that many at first. And then it's like, oh, he's got 8 three-pointers. LeBron was obviously LeBron. Blake Griffin was fantastic, but again, it's pretty easy to be fantastic when you take all your shots in the paint and people are doing everything in their power to not defend the paint. And then, of course, Kyrie Irving. My man Kyrie Irving came in, stole the show in the fourth quarter. He led the East back, put up 15 in the fourth, was hitting threes, doing his little scoop layup deal. You know what I'm saying? He's always nice around the rim. People don't really realize that. He puts more English on the ball when finishing at the hoop than anybody I've seen in the league. And then he got hot from the outside too, and he was dropping dimes. So he played a pretty complete game by all-star standards, aside from the turnovers, right? He deserved MVP. I'm glad he got it. And the East stopped the West little streak of wins there. So next year's All-Star game is in Brooklyn. Maybe I'll be there, who knows, but I'll find my way there somehow, and then I'll be able to judge up close and personal and see what All-Star Weekend is really all about. You know what I'm saying? But that leads us to the second half of the NBA season. I feel like hearing some music right now, don't you? Let's hear a little bit of music, then we'll come back and talk a little bit about the second half of the NBA season. Trade deadline, what to expect. I don't know, man. It's wall-to-wall basketball here on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast, y'all. Get at me.
What y'all about to witness? Big L, Big L, Big L. My whole crew out.
The game is called rap.
Other MCs ain't got a chance at all. My whole crew out.
Y'all about to witness?
Big L, Big L, Big L. My whole crew out.
The game is called rap.
Other MCs ain't got a chance at all. My whole crew out. Yo, I'm straight loco. The hell with you and your bro code. You ain't a big dog. You more like Toto. You got no dough. I smoke dro mixed with cocoa. Strong as Bolo. A pack of fofo. Platinum Roro, anti-homo, that's a no-no, so fuck Popo. I push the 740 and not the Volvo. C-Town push the 600, I'm with a bitch on Dolo. Chips from here to Acapulco, why y'all buck for legs? I buck for heads, I even buck celebs, nigga, fuck the feds. My underground niggas, y'all can shine with me. Got my own label now, so y'all can sign with me. Y'all can take it from the bottom and climb with me. That's fine with me, that's how it was designed to be. Ayo, gas, we bust,
facts, we crush.
Only hot tracks, we lust.
Crazy stacks, we clutch.
And we need plaques to touch.
That's a platinum plus.
It's half of you niggas that's rapping now.
It's whack to us.
Ayo, gas, we bust,
facts, we crush.
Only hot tracks, we lust.
Crazy stacks, we clutch.
And we need plaques to touch.
That's a platinum plus.
It's half of you niggas that's rapping now.
It's whack to us.
Ayo, the streets love me, man. I love the streets. I didn't think I was coming with some fruitcake shit. Y'all know me better than that.
Hey yo, I should have been out. I'm deadly when I pull the pin out. Keep frontin', I'ma try your chin out. I knocked a lot of men out. I left them on the floor spittin' phlegm out. It's either that or I'ma squeeze the gat and pop 10 out. You see Cody on ice spinning, jigged out, white linen. And if a bitch don't like me, she must like women. Every
Every time I come around, you see your wife grinning. Don't be mad cause your career's in the ninth inning. It's over now, nigga, leave the game. I'm from the danger zone where MCs be slain. We're thugs that never hesitate to squeeze the flame. Where niggas be taking drugs just to ease the pain. Hustlers flip cokey, 48 hours like Nick Nolte. When I was OT, yo bitch wrote me. First day home, I dived in it. Left her thighs dented. Now that bitch be paging me every 5 minutes. MCs are squashing disgrace. It's all about the Benjis. So why your bills got Washington's face? A lot of cats be fronting. Mad singles with a 50 on top. L trying to have the city on lock. Peace to Biggie and Pac, cause they really were hot. Rap game, heavy hitters. It's a shame they no longer with us. Niggas wanna be L. Ladies wanna see L. If I go to jail, you in show saying free L. What?
Word up, man. My niggas is hungry. You ready to fight a nigga on board?
All my wolves in the house, all you live for what? See Harlem about to get it, all eyes on us. Only ghetto niggas shine, who gon' rise with us? And the first cat who act, we gon' size them up. All my wolves in the house, all you live for what? See Harlem about to get it, all eyes on us. Only ghetto niggas shine, who gon' rise with us? And the first cat who act, we gon' size them up. Hey yo, I hear a lot of bitch in your talk. See a lot of switch in your walk. Only thugs get rich in New York. Time is running out. Niggas like L, when you coming out? Because they sick of all this drag queen shit. The wife missing, I'm the nigga she was last seen with. Me and Ron hit it up on some tag team shit. A bunch of niggas got smoke for the cash. Used to ride Greyhounds with dime holes and stuff the coke in their ass. Crazy beefs got provoked in the past. A lot of wigs got split. A lot of innocent kids got hit. Harlem World be the place of my birth. Believe me, son, we breed the smoothest niggas on the face of the earth. Mic's eyes steadily smoke. Rhymes cleverly wrote. As long as I can rock a crowd, I'ma never be broke. Simo's treated me like a bum nerd. Unheard. Now I'm icy, I ain't gotta say one word, you dumb bird. I push whips while you walk all day. And I hate when strange niggas wanna talk all day. Clown ass shit, hate to be around that shit. You don't know me, just say what's up, give me a pound, that's it. When I was at the steakhouse, pulling cake out. You was at some cheap Chinese shit, getting takeout. How you make out? You took the fake route, you wanna break out. You couldn't get a bitch before you put your tape out. What?
Jay Hicks here at the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Wanted to say rest in peace to Big L, man. Lamont Coleman, one of the great lyricists hip-hop has ever known. Wanted to make sure we got a little Big L in on the podcast this week. Big L, last week was the 15-year anniversary of his murder. Very untimely. Was killed in Harlem, which is where he was from. Big L dropped 2 LPs, I believe only one while he was alive, The Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous, and then came out with The Big Picture posthumously. I always struggle with that word. Yeah, man, he was great. He was great. If any of you have ever heard any Big L before, you probably know how great of a lyricist he really was. You know, he was the man. He was ushering in cats like Jay-Z. Like, he had guys like Jay-Z and Cameron on his albums back when he was the man. Like, he brought them on his albums, and they were featured artists on his work. And the rumor was he was going to end up signing with Rockefeller Records right around the time that he was killed. And so it's crazy to think what his career would have been or should have been had he been granted more time on this earth. And he was only 24 years old, I believe, when he passed. And so it's really unfortunate, man, but Big L's music is never forgotten. That's why I had to make sure I got that song in on the podcast this week. And you know, I'll always be a fan of L. So we're gonna put on for Big L one time here on the podcast, and we're gonna get back into a little bit of basketball talk. So yeah, second half is upon us, the unofficial second half, because obviously, the real second half has been here for a few weeks now. But just want to take a look at the standings here. This is just live. This is live. Is live podcasting a real thing? That sounds like an oxymoron. But, you know, I'm literally going to pull up the standings in the NBA as we speak. And I'm going to just shoot from the hip here. Indiana is 41 and 12 on the season, first in the East. Still got a 2.5 game on Miami. Miami could catch them. Miami's won 3 straight. You know, they were monkeying around with those garbage teams a few weeks ago, but it looks like they've gotten the ship straight. LeBron dropped 42 last night on the Mavericks, and I don't know. It looked like Indiana may have to fight to keep that number one spot. And they really fighting hard for it, too. It's funny because every year we see this these changes in the NBA, these changing of the guards. Like, you know, the Celtics, when they first brought in KG Pearson and Ray Allen, they fought like hell to get that number one seed because they felt like they needed to have that in order to win. And they did, and they got it, and they ended up winning. But then, after that, Doc Rivers put, like, zero emphasis on the regular season, and he was just trying to survive the regular season. And then you saw a team like Cleveland fight like hell to get that number one seed because they knew they needed it in order to win. And they got it, but then they didn't win. And so now you've seen Miami just power through the Eastern Conference the last few years. And but actually, 2 years ago, I think the Bulls were that team that felt like they needed to get the number one seed, and they got it, but then they didn't win. And then we've seen Miami have the number one seed. Now Indiana's that team that feels like they got to get that top seed. And they're going to, you know, they're not going to throw away any regular season games because they feel like they can win a game seven on their home floor. Well, Miami's now taking on that veteran team's role where they just like, you know what, we don't really care. We just going to play. Our C game is better than 90% of the league's A game. We're going to win 55, 60 games regardless. And if we get the top seed, cool. But if we don't, no worries, because we know we can go into Conseco Fieldhouse and win us a game seven. That's what their mind frame is. I don't know if that's necessarily true. They might actually be playing with fire this year because Indiana looked pretty real deal. You know what I'm saying? Indiana's looking pretty legit. And they brought in Andrew Bynum. If he's in any kind of shape, he'll be a significant, maybe not a significant, maybe that's not the right word, but he'll be a help. He'll help out. He wasn't a significant impact player in Cleveland, and he wasn't a player of any sort in Philadelphia, so I don't know if we can call him significant, but he'll help. And if nothing else, he's six fouls with a little bit of talent. And I'd rather have him than Greg Oden, to be quite honest. So we'll see how the Eastern Conference Finals breaks down between Indiana and Miami, and that will be the Eastern Conference Finals. I think we can all agree on that. Everything else is going on in the East now is just, you know, I don't want to call it a waste, but I'm just looking at the standings right now, and it's just like, I mean, what else is there really? I mean, you got Toronto. They crept up into the number three seed in the conference somehow. They become one of the best teams in the league ever since they got rid of Rudy Gay, for whatever that means. Chicago, who I told some people that, you know, Chicago, I think their plan was to kind of tank after D. Rose got hurt and they traded Lou Alden, but their players and their coach won't allow that. Like, Thibodeau is too competitive. Joakim Noah and these guys are too competitive. They're just not going to allow them to tank. And Thibodeau is it Thibodeau or Thibodeau? Thibodeau. Thibodeau, Thibodeau. I don't know. He's too good of a coach to just let it slide. And even if he brings his C game as a coach, it's probably better than 90% of the coach's A games out here. So Chicago's still hanging at the number four seed, even though they probably should bottom out. Atlanta's free-falling in a hurry right now. They've lost six straight. And then there's just a bunch of teams that are competing for, like, the last few spots, and none of them are significantly better or worse than the other ones. Washington, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Detroit, Cleveland, and New York. So I don't really know what to make of that. I know the Cavaliers are fighting like hell to get into that playoff conversation. Charlotte, they might be looking to make a move here at the deadline. And there could be a move in line for them. You know, there's rumors that the Cavaliers are shopping Lou Alden, which they should be. And I don't want people to overreact to the word shopping, because shopping makes it sound like they're hitting up every team in the league like, y'all, you know, we'll give you this player. Just give us a second-round pick and a fish dinner, and you got a deal, bruh. Like, it's not like that. Just because you're shopping somebody doesn't mean you'll just take back anything. And it doesn't mean you're desperate to get rid of that guy. It just means that you're testing the waters, you know? And, I mean, they should be testing the waters on Lou Alden, because he might not re-sign with the Cavaliers, and then they're just stuck having traded for a guy that, you know, I mean, not that they gave up a ton to get him, but just the fact that they did give up assets and then to let him walk out the door for nothing would be kind of stupid, right? So it makes sense that if they think that he might leave, just to test the waters and see what's out there, you know, somebody might bite. There was one trade, as I'm looking at NBA TV as we speak. Marcus Thornton went to the Nets for Jet Terry and Reggie Evans. I don't even know what Terry's contract looked like, though. I mean, I know he's got at least 1 year left, maybe two. Because I know some teams were hesitant to absorb his contract when Brooklyn was trying to deal Jason Terry. But Marcus Thornton is an upgrade, though. I mean, they got rid of Marshawn Brooks, Brooklyn did. You know, they got rid of that swing man off the bench that could really score. Sean Livingston's kind of taking on a bigger role there, but he's not that kind of perimeter guy that would fit that role. I think Marcus Thornton can kind of come in and light it up when Joe Johnson's having an off night and when Paul Pierce feels like being old. You know what I'm saying? Marcus Thornton can come in there and get buckets. So not a terrible move from that standpoint. I see what Brooklyn's trying to do. They're trying to position themselves for a playoff run. Brooklyn has spent more money on their team than I've ever seen a team spend on a team. Like, I mean, I don't even know if the sentence made sense, but that's how many dollars Prokhorov has put on the table with this Brooklyn Nets team. Because they got like $80 million on the books like 3 years from now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so if there is one team that's in win now mode, it's Brooklyn. And right now they're sitting at 24-27. It's kind of ridiculous, but and they've been a disappointment, as have the Pistons, Cavaliers, and Knicks have all disappointed. The Knicks were like the number two seed in the East last year, yo. What happened to them? They basically have the same team. I mean, they made a few changes here. They brought in Bargnani. That didn't work. They re-signed J.R. Smith. That was probably a mistake. They stuck with Ray Felton. He's as mercurial as any player in the league. So he's one of those guys where it's like, if you get good Ray Felton, the Knicks are going to be tough to beat. But if you get bad Ray Felton, then they're going to be tough to watch, you know? So, and then you got the bottom feeders in the East. So, yeah, man. Eastern Conference is a two-team race, unfortunately. And I think it'll be interesting to see which teams fight for that number 7-8 seed out there, and which teams end up getting it. And then it'll be interesting to see if you can get in the 6, 7, and 8, you know, I mean, the 6 seed could absolutely knock off the 3 seed in the East. That's nothing. You know? Nobody's knocking off Indiana and Miami, though. But if you get to that 6 spot, you know, you got a chance to get to the second round. And even if you don't have a chance of beating Miami or Indiana, if you're like Washington, who's currently in the sixth spot, you got guys like John Wall, you got Brad Beal, and I don't know if Otto Porter's getting any more than 2 minutes a game, but I mean, if he is, you got these young guys, it's good to get them some playoff reps, right? You want to get them swings in the batting cages in the playoffs. This is what it's all about. This is why these teams are fighting to get in, like Cleveland and Detroit. They got all these young guys, but they want to get them a taste of postseason action, and it makes some sense because it's going to help you in the long haul. You got to get those reps in, and so it doesn't seem like it, but getting your ass kicked in the second round by Miami might not be the worst thing in the world for a young team. And so you get a team like Washington with some young players, but with some promising young players, and they'll be better off for it if they can get an extra series out of it, you know. And then it'll be not too fun to watch them get swept, but still, that's not the point, you know. You got to think long term. And looking at the Western Conference, Oklahoma City, man, they've been on a roll. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Kevin Durant is the MVP. I don't care what nobody says so far. I mean, not that that can't change, but KD is a wild man right now. And, I mean, the stretch he had in January was reminiscent of Kobe's stretch like in 06 when he had like 5 50-point games in a row. Kobe had like 5 50-point games in a row, y'all. Do y'all remember that? Like, man, that was something else. But it reminded me of that. I mean, it wasn't on that level, but it was reminiscent of it. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they bring Russ Westbrook back in the fold, if whether or not he throws off that chemistry. And then everybody's going to dump all the blame on him again, like it's his fault that he got hurt. You know what I'm saying? But people love to hate Russell Westbrook, and I'm a huge Russell Westbrook defender, so I don't want to hear that nonsense. But I will say that they've been playing well without him, and to some degree, it's been good because it's forced younger guys like Jeremy Lamb to step up and have more of a contribution on that team, and it's going to be better for them in the long haul that they had those opportunities and they got those shots in real games, you know, rather than Russell Westbrook getting another 20 shots. Those guys got some looks, and it'll benefit Oklahoma City. And you got to shout out Serge Ibaka, too. I don't think people are really understanding how much he's developed as a player. I first noticed him. I remember noticing Serge Ibaka before most people did. And it was back during their first playoff run, that regular season when they ended up getting beat by the Lakers in the first round. And I'm like, yo, this kid Serge Ibaka can play. I don't know if anybody's noticing it, but he can play. Never would I have expected that 4 years later, he'd be shooting threes from the corner and making them on the regular. I would not have expected that. But he's developed his game, and he's spaced the floor out, and he can really knock down that corner three. And he's a reliable, reliable 18-foot jump shooter. So, Serge Ibaka, you know, way to work on your game, bro. I like that. I like that in a young player. San Antonio still hanging in at the number two seed. They just don't go away. There's rumors that Tim Duncan might retire at the end of the year. Tony Parker's banged up. Ginobili's banged up. Kawhi Leonard's now getting hurt. Danny Green just got back from injury. And they still got, like, the third best record in the NBA. I mean, it defies logic how good the Spurs are. They have the fourth best record in the NBA right now. And they just beat the Clippers last night in L.A. because their third string point guard scored, like, 25 points on Chris Paul and them. Like, I mean, I don't know what they do. I feel like if I went to Spurs practice for like 3 weeks, I would be a serviceable NBA player by the end of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you give me 3 weeks of Spurs practices and then put me out there against Jordan Farmar. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think I can hold my own. Like, if you put me in the game with like a 10-point lead, like when I come out the game after like 3 or 4 minutes, the lead will be only like down to like 5. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think with Spurs practices under my belt, I think I could be that good. You know, I mean, the way they just develop everybody on the team, it's just uncanny, man. That whole organization, top to bottom. And then beyond the San Antonio Spurs, you got the Blazers, man. You know what's funny about them? I mentioned them on the podcast when I was trying to squeeze in an NBA segment a few weeks ago. And I talked about how the Blazers were the hottest team in the league and they were like first in the West, but they got their record fat off some cupcake teams, you know what I'm saying? And then you kind of saw as time wore on, you know, they're not doing so hot. I think they're like 5-8 in their last 13 games or something like that, but I'm going to pull up their schedule so you see what I'm talking about. You know, they got fat in those early months, November, December. They were had a lot of home games and they played a lot of Eastern Conference teams. And then now you look at their schedule, and they lost to the Rockets, then they lost to the Thunder third week of January, right? Then they won two games. Then they lost to Golden State and Memphis. That's a playoff team and a team on the cusp of the playoffs. And then those, and then Houston and Oklahoma City are obviously in the playoff mix, right? Then they beat Toronto. Then they lost to the Wizards, who's an Eastern Conference playoff team. They beat the Knicks, who stink, right? But then they lost to the Pacers. And they beat Minnesota, who's out of the playoffs, and then they lost to the Thunder and the Clippers going into the All-Star break. So now they got a game against the Spurs tonight. This is their first game back after the break, Portland, and the Spurs are coming. They're at home, but they're coming off a back-to-back. So it's a game that Portland probably should win. It's a home game for Portland with San Antonio coming off a back-to-back with nobody healthy. You know what I'm saying? So, and Tim Duncan, you know, he don't even play back-to-backs. So they might have him out there, but he's probably not even supposed to be. And if he's out there, it's only because they're short on guys. So if Portland loses tonight, they kind of need to win this game just to help right the ship a little bit. But they've slipped a little bit. I think they're down to fifth or sixth. I think they're fifth in the conference right now. The Clippers, listen, man. The Clippers are my favorite team to root for in the West. Just about. I've always loved Oklahoma City. I was on the Oklahoma City bandwagon way before it became cool, and I got friends that can attest to that. Back when I was talking about Ibaka before, that's when I was down with Oklahoma City. But then everybody got on the bandwagon because they got so good, so I'm kind of off that. And then I got on the Clippers bandwagon as soon as my man CP got out there, and then now everybody's on that bandwagon, so it's kind of like, all right. But Chris Paul is my favorite player in the NBA, and I root for him to succeed, and I root for the Clippers to succeed for that reason. But I'm telling you, man, they're not going to win anything unless they make a deal at the deadline. And I've been saying since before the season started that they needed to go after Omer Asik. And I don't know if they had the money to pay for him, but if they gave up DeAndre Jordan in some kind of package and got back Omer Asik, whatever his name is, the guy who's crying like a bitch at the end of the Houston bench, that guy, if they bring him to Los Angeles, they'll win more basketball games in the playoffs, I promise you. He rebounds, he defends the paint. And DeAndre Jordan does those things too. And DeAndre's having a great year, so I don't mean to knock him so much. And he's and Doc has done a great job pumping him up. And you know, he was DeAndre was considered an all-star snub this year, so that's pretty good by his standards. So I'm not trying to hate on him per se, but I just feel like there's more substance with Ashik's game. And, you know, there's little things, you know, the way they play the pick and roll, him making foul shots down the stretch of a game, that kind of stuff. I think they'll win more playoff games with him next to Blake Griffin than DeAndre. They won't make as many SportsCenter top tens, but they'll win more games. But the Clippers, they went all out and they got all these guys like J.J. Redick and Jared Dudley. And instead of addressing their biggest need, which is getting another big next to Blake and DeAndre, and they didn't do it. Now you see what happened. J.J. Redick got hurt. He's been basically hurt all season. He got hurt, came back. Now he's got a bulging disc in his back, and he's out indefinitely. Jared Dudley's been garbage all season. So those moves haven't really helped them at all to this point. And they're still playing great, and Blake Griffin's playing the best ball of his career. But how long are they going to get by on Blake and CP? The Rockets are an interesting team. I really don't want to make of them. I mean, they got a lot of pieces there that look nice. They won 7 in a row. They're the hottest team in the league. I don't know if the Rockets are a for real playoff team, though. I don't know if I see them getting past the second round. We got to see how dynamic James Harden and Dwight Howard are. I mean, they got three guys on Houston that you know are good, that you know are going to deliver. You got Harden, you got Howard, and you got Chandler Parsons. And that's good because a lot of teams don't have that much. And so don't get me wrong. If they were in the Eastern Conference, they would be in a discussion to come out the East. But in the West, I just don't see them surpassing San Antonio, Oklahoma City. I feel like if they got into a series with the Spurs, I feel like Popovich would just coach the pants off Kevin McHale, and that'd be the end of it. I mean, I just don't see. And then maybe if Houston got matched up with the wrong team on the bottom half of the ledger. So, like, if they got matched up with, like Portland or Golden State in the first round, I don't know if I like Houston in that matchup. I mean, I could see them struggling. So, and then you got Phoenix, the feel-good story of the year. Jeff Hornacek should win Coach of the Year, for sure. But I still don't see them making the playoffs. I feel like they're going to bottom out at some point, and Memphis is going to climb in there and give somebody hell in the first round again. I just kind of see that it plays out that way. But I kind of hope I'm wrong, because Phoenix has been – I've been wrong about Phoenix all year, and they've just been fantastic this season. And Goran Dragic has been amazing, and they're supposed to get Eric Bledsoe back pretty soon, I believe. And he's one of my favorite players in the league, so I really hope he comes back. And those two guys together were wreaking havoc on everybody. So as of right now, man, you know, it's still Miami, Indiana in the East. In the West, I'd hate to say it, man, but it's a two-team race in the West right now, too, as far as I could tell. It looked like Oklahoma City and San Antonio. And I wrote an article a few weeks back about why this is the worst NBA season in 15 years, and I stand by that article. Please check it out at hiphopsportsreport.com. But I mean, what are we to make of that? I mean, we know San Antonio's tried and true, so we know that they're going to be there. Oklahoma City's got the best player in the conference, so we know they're going to be there. Outside of that, who can you count on in the West? I mean, there's a lot of good teams there, but they're just going to cannibalize each other, and nothing's going to come of it. And I just don't see anybody knocking off Oklahoma City and San Antonio. I mean, these same four teams are on another collision course for the conference finals. That's what it looks like. We saw San Antonio, Oklahoma City 2 years ago in the conference finals. We'll see it again this year, I think, as of right now. In Miami, Indiana, we saw them last year. I think we'll see that again this year. So let's talk some hip hop, y'all. How about that? Talk a little rap music. Let's play a little rap music. How about that?
Yeah. I could never turn my back, nigga. Never. I could never forget where I came from. Last song. Native of New Orleans, all y'all dance song. I get them on the wrist with telephone, put them on the map. Put them up. Represent. Where you from? West side, take out some of this down south shit, though, nigga.
You body, I'm body body. If you body body, we'll say you body body. I represent where them killers hang. Third wall, Kelly, your project, we got our own thing. It's a small hood, but it's all good. And Mr. Rogers ain't got shit up on my neighborhood. I represent none but G's.
Charisma, California, all the way back to New Orleans. That murder capital to other words, so fool, watch your back. The Mardi Gras look good, but some tours don't make it back. And niggas ain't drippin' on your life, chick. They ready to take your ass out before that count of 1, 2, 3. So give me your gold chain. What about your gold ring? Niggas from down south, quick to put you in that body slang. I mean that body cat. What about a body bag? You ain't think quick, that's why you on your ass. And niggas stuntin', perpetrating talking shit. You go to the projects, you might get your wig split. Niggas look crazy, want a bar quarter. You better not fuck with them fools that's gone on that water. I mean that click of juice,
damn.
From Alba-Hot.
Like
whatever you want, a quarter they dick and cigarettes to get high. Like some alcoholics, niggas don't even give a fuck. They leave you stuck in that motherfucking black truck. Break you off like some motherfucking Japanese.
Damn.
Ain't no love in this hood, ain't no love for G. And these niggas killing bitches too. And these bitches at them niggas, cause they don't give a fuck about you. You gotta be body body, cause I'm body body. Third wall, tell your Frytex, you know they body body. In that fourth wall, it's body body.
Body
I
body.
Mean that fifth wall, that tenth wall, you know they body body. 12th wall, body body. In that 13, 17, up, down, downtown, across the sea. Body body, cause we body body. My little homie, high minor sign, they body body. Body body, I mean we body body. King George, T-R-U, you know we body body. Till, you know he body body. My manager, T-C, you know he body body. Big A, body body. Sonya C, you know she body body. C-Murk, body body. Mr. Servant, his body body. Moby Dick, you know he body body. Kelly G, Kate Lou, body body. Craig, you know he body body. And Bill S, come kick some shit, she
I'm
body body.
I'm gonna show a whole bunch of niggas that I'm bout. Coming from the crescent, testing ups and ready to bust on those who doubt it. I'm rowdy as the bro, so you best be backing up from this below sea level hoe. Coming like a tornado brings drama. Either way, I have to do this. So break yourself, niggas. Here comes a woman to this true clique. The bitch you love to hate, but yet ain't bold enough to face. Cause me, your ex will finish first. In this grand diva race, I kick your ear holes. Laced with my pimp strip phone. Punks play your hate because they shit be bunk. But I dunk a nigga's head into a toilet full of piss. Cause in this drama field, but we ain't taking no shit. Downtown, six wall, love feet on guard. Seven wall, hard heads, niggas out that St. Bernard. Ninth wall, press Paul, Desire, and Florida, New Orleans. So powdered every day, we coming harder, fire water. Got them niggas getting high off my flows. Gumbo, three green, plus my A2 fake. Got them paying 20 bones. So bring it on, cause I got it recognized. No limit in me, your ex nigga flex if you bout it, bout it. You bout it, yeah, I'm bout it, and rest in peace, my girl Jill, cause she was bout it.
I mean, she bout it, she was bout it. Them niggas from No Limit Records, you know we bout it. Master P, you know I'm bout it. The whole New Orleans, them motherfuckers are bout it. Baton Rouge, you know they bout it. Texas and Tennessee, you know they body body. Alabama, even Georgia, and all you other motherfuckers down the South Side floor, you know they body body. Cause we body body. From Richmond, California to Oakland, they body body. Across the bay to San Francisco, to the East Side, you know they body body. Down in Kansas City, you know they body body. Kentucky, Ohio, Washington, cause they body body. Mean Green, you know he's body.
Back here to wrap things up on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. If you haven't been to the website, you're messing up. But I'm going to give you a chance to make amends. If you go and check out the site today, on there you can find an article that we wrote about Nicki Minaj and her latest song entitled Looking Ass Nigga. It goes a little something like this.
Look at y'all looking ass niggas, stop looking at my ass niggas. Look at y'all lying ass niggas, talking about his paid off with his finance, lying ass nigga. Bunch of non-mogul ass niggas, frontin' like they got a plan, boost mobile ass nigga. Nigga, nigga, look at y'all, can't get a job, so you plotting how to rob ass niggas. I ain't got a check for y'all, but if I'm a check for y'all, I'ma need a check from y'all niggas. I don't want sex, give a fuck about your ex, I don't even wanna text from y'all niggas. I'm raping you niggas, look at this pic, look what the fuck I gave to you niggas. Ain't feeling these niggas. Niggas want my time, call me Clinton, I'm billing these niggas.
Thank you, Nikki. Some people had some problems with it, specifically with the cover artwork, Malcolm X being on the cover art, which he said wasn't official, but yet somehow it got out to begin with. I'm not really sure how that works, but whatever. So yeah, let us know what you think, man. I'm curious to hear what you all have to think about that. Is that on Nikki? Is that, you know, was she wrong for doing that, or is it just her way of expressing her art, or should she be absolved of any responsibility at all because she said it wasn't official? Holla at us, let us know. I'm on Twitter at HHS Report, and of course you can always hit us on the website hiphopsportsreport.com. Before we close the show out today, I wanted to take a quick moment to recognize the College Dropout. Kanye West's first LP was dropped 10 years ago last week, and it was a monumental moment for hip hop when that album came out. I remember it vividly. I remember I had the original album with the packaging. It came with a little Kanye poster with him on one side and the Dropout barrel on the other side. And that album changed hip-hop. It really did. It provided a new sound. It provided a new character, a new artist, a new visionary. Everything about it was new. And hip-hop hasn't been the same since Kanye West took over, basically. I had just entered college when the College Dropout dropped, which was kind of interesting to be to be in that point in your life when you hear an influential album like that come along at that time, you know, just as you're on the precipice of adulthood and you're standing at the face of this new beginning in college, and just everything that you've always heard about college, and then just experiencing it for the very first time, and in the middle of your first year, somebody's talking about how stupid college is on a rap record. But that rap record got so many spins in the dorm room, yo. I'm not playing. It was just a great record. Kanye West was ahead of his time with that one. I mean, he had Jesus Walks on that one. He had Spaceship on that one. Through the Wire, of course. Family Business was a great one. I mean, it was pretty much no skips. There was only like, I said there's maybe one or two songs at the most that I didn't really care for, that I tended to skip over more frequently than the others. But altogether, man, that was just a legendary record. And look at all the things that Kanye West has given us since he's coming to the fold. I'm not even just talking about musically. I'm just talking about, you know, from the I'm going to let you finish to the you ain't got all the answers, Sway. You ain't got all the answers. You know what I'm saying? All of that. I'm a huge Kanye fan, and I didn't really care for Yeezus. And you can read all about that on the website as well. When we did a Tale of the Tape on Yeezus last summer, it wasn't really my cup of tea, but you know what I'm saying? I respect Kanye's hustle. I respect his mind and his vision and his work ethic and his confidence in himself. And yeah, man, it's been 10 years, man, but it's been a wonderful 10 years. So we're going to shout out Kanye West. And if I knew then what I know now about college life and all that kind of stuff, I would have really appreciated him as being the genius that he is. And so maybe we ought to give him the benefit of the doubt with Yeezus, that maybe he's 10 years ahead of his time once again. I don't know. But yeah, we're gonna play a little Kanye, and we're gonna get up out of here, y'all. And shout out to my man Charles Wade Barkley, the funniest guy on television. My all-time favorite athlete, man, as a youngster, coming up, the Chuckster. He turns 51 years old tomorrow. So, yeah, he's an old man now, which I guess that means I'm kind of getting old, too. Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast, thank you for joining us. Went heavy on the basketball this time around. Next time, who knows what we're going to talk about. The world of sports and hip-hop will give us something to discuss next time we get on the podcast, just like they do every week. And that's why we love them, isn't it? It's always something going on in the world of sports and music. So, and sometimes they're going to collide, like when you saw Drake holding the ball for Terrence Ross at the All-Star game, and then he got clowned again just because he's Drake and he's an easy target. But get at us on Twitter, y'all, at HHS Report. Check out the website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Always got that fly shit on there. We got a lot of stuff coming in the future. And we just gonna keep doing it, y'all. And thank you for the support to this point. And we not gonna stop, y'all, because we loving this. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol for the. So get your ass up off the wall. The all around the world digital underground pock. The Rudolph the red nosed reindeer of the rock. I take my chain, my 15 seconds of fame, and come back next year with the whole fucking game. Ain't nobody expect Kanye to end up on top. They expected that college dropout to drop and it flop. Then maybe he stopped saving all the good beats for himself. Rockefeller's only niggas that help. My money was thinner than Sean Paul goatee hair. Now John Paul goatee air, cologne fill the air. Yeah, they say he bougie, he big headed. Would you please stop talking about how my dickhead is? Flow infectious, give me 10 seconds. I have a buzz bigger than insects in Texas. It's funny how wasn't nobody interested. To the night I almost killed myself in Lexus. Now I am. Here's to the rock. And they ask me, they ask me, they ask me. I tell them.
Here's to rock and roll.
Raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. Last call for alcohol for the so get your ass up off the wall. Now is Kanye the most overlooked? Yes, sir. Now is Kanye the most overbooked? Yes, sir. Do the fans want the feeling of a Tribe Called Quest? But all they got left is this guy called West. That'll take freeway, throw him on tracks with most death. You call him Quali or Quayle, I put him on songs with Jay-Z. I'm the Gap like Banana Republic and Old Navy. And ooh, it come out sweeter than old Sadie. Nice as Bun B when I met him at the Source Awards. Girl he had with him, ass coulda won the Horse Awards. And I was almost famous. Now everybody love Kanye, I'm almost reigning. Some say he arrogant, can y'all blame him? It was straight embarrassing how y'all played him. Last year shopping my demo, I was trying to shine. Every motherfucker told me that I couldn't rhyme. Now I can let these dream killers kill my self-esteem, or use my arrogance as esteem to power my dreams. I use it as my gas, so they say that I'm gassed. But without it, I'll be last, so I ought to laugh. So I don't listen to the suits behind the desk no more. You niggas wear suits cause you can't dress no more. You can't say shit to Kanye West no more. I rock 20,000 people, I was just on tour, nigga. I'm kind of Louis Vuitton Don. Bought my mom a purse, now she Louis Vuitton mom. I ain't played a hand, I was dealt, I changed my cars. I prayed to the skies and I changed my stars. I went to the malls and I balled too hard. Oh my God, is that a black card? I turned around and replied, why yes, but I prefer the term African American Express. Brains, power, and muscle like Dame, Puffy, and Russell. Your boy back on his hustle, you know what I've been up to. Killing y'all niggas on that lyrical shit. Mayonnaise, color bins, I push miracle whips. And I told him that Rockefeller was interested. And I don't know if they thought that was just something I was saying to gas him up to try to push the price up or whatever. I went up. I called G. I said, man, you think we can still get that deal with Rockefeller?
So won't you raise your glass for Rockefeller? So won't you raise your glass for Rockefeller?